are you doing? All right, we're going to finish up Job this week. The lesson's name is, What Am I Supposed to Learn? What can I learn about God through adversity that I can't know otherwise? That's the question. What can we learn about God through adversity that I can't learn in any other way? That's a pretty easy answer, don't you think? What can you learn about God through adversity? Well, you can learn about how He's with you, how He watches over you, how He sends you through the adversity a lot of times to grow you for the next opportunity. We're going to look at chapters 38 and 42 through 42. Our background was 38 through 42, the last chapters, and then we're going to have verses in 38 and 42. I meant to bring it today and I forgot, but I have a badge that I have to wear at work. And you cannot get in the building if you do not have a badge. So, first of all, you can't get through the guardhouse. It's fenced and gated and secured. And so you can't get through there, which is nice, unless you have permission. But if you did get up to the building, you still couldn't get in because every door is carded. You have to have the badge to buzz in to unlock the door. So, what comes by me having that badge and being able to get in? I also have a badge in my car. And if I don't have that badge in my car that the guard can see, I can't get in. They're going to stop me and ask me who I am and whatever. And so I've got those two badges. What comes with me having access to that building? What, as far as me personally? Well, I got a job. So I'm trustworthy. I'm accountable. I'm accountable to the rules that Steris makes us adhere by. As far as, I can't let anybody in the building on my badge. Even if I know that person has worked there 30 years and they forgot their badge, I could get in trouble if they said, hey, I forgot my badge. Can you let me in? Well, what if they got fired yesterday afternoon after I left and I didn't know it? And somehow or another they got through the guardhouse and I let them in. And they went and killed. I mean, you know, it's just, that's pretty far stretched. But, you know, so I'm held accountable. And I get to keep my job as long as I follow the rules and I get the badge that lets me in the plant. So, why do I do that? I do that because I need to make a living. Why do I adhere to the rules? Because I'm trustworthy, like somebody said, and accountable. So your debit card. What does owning a debit card mean?
Responsibility.
Big time, doesn't it? You have access to your money only, and the bank expects that while you have their services available, you will act responsibly. John works with a guy that feels like that he knows that the money is supposed to be used for something else, but that if they don't take it out quick enough and he sees it in there, that's their fault and he's going to use it again.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm testifying, that's right. What about neighborhood associations? You know, you see, I know the neighborhood we live in, they have one. They have rules that all residents have to adhere to. I know the neighborhood that Betty Irvin and all them live in, they have rules that they all have to decorate at the same time for Christmas. You know, they have all these rules. Newer neighborhoods have, you know, you can't have your vehicles parked on the street. I mean, there's all kinds of crazy things. And a lot of them have HOA fees, housing fees. In addition to what you already pay, you may pay $200 or $300 or more a month because they take care of the grounds. I know that place out there on Atlanta Highway for you have to be 55 or older to live there. No, it's a subdivision.
Is that where Miss Nail lives?
Yeah, maybe
Somerset.
Oh, yeah, I know that. You know, they have, there are HOA fees out there because they take care of the grounds, because I'm sure it's probably a lot of older people that live out there, but it's a beautiful place. But you know, they have to pay for that to be done. So, so if you want to live in a, that's why I like older neighborhoods, because you don't have to do that. So when we invest ourselves and our finances in an endeavor, we knowingly accept any regulations and expectations that go along with it. So if you buy a car, what is the expectation from the bank? You're going to make payments, and you're going to make them on a certain day, and you're going to make them on time, and you're going to make them till it's paid off. So we sign legal documents that confirm that we accept whatever boundaries they have for us. So let's move this spiritually. When we love and follow Jesus Christ, we acknowledge the sovereignty of God, and we must submit to Him, His standards, and His leadership. So, how come that is so hard? How come it's easy to sign for a $30,000 vehicle and accept whatever you got to do with that, or a house, or whatever? But how come it's hard for us on a regular, consistent basis, I don't care how long you've been a believer, to do that? To knowingly accept the standards that He sets out for us. Because to fully receive the benefits of being a follower, we must do what He expects of us. It's not, so many people think, you know, and it's easy to think, well, you know, I'm a believer and I believe and I know I'm going to heaven, so I'm good. But there's just so much more that can be done and needs to be done and should be done. So what are the benefits? We've talked about the benefits and the responsibilities of, you know, like my job and our debit cards and things like that. What are the benefits of being a follower of Jesus? I'm going to throw out my salvation. What? Give me some more.
Daily blessings.
Daily, yep. Just
peace of mind.
Peace of mind.
Eternal life.
Eternal life. Mm-hmm. As those are the ones I wrote down. God is the all-knowing, all-powerful Lord, the sovereign. That's what sovereign means. All-knowing and all-powerful. He knows everything. Omnipresent means He's everywhere. Sovereign means He's all-knowing and all-powerful. So are you submitted to Him completely in the sense of that payment that you make every month? That you don't, because you don't want your credit to be bad, you know. So are you submitted and committed to Him in that sense, that you won't fail, you won't be late, you won't not do because you don't feel comfortable, don't know enough, you know, not going to do it by yourself, that kind of thing. He holds us accountable for submitting to Him as Lord. He holds us accountable for that. We are responsible. He gives us our salvation, our eternal life, but He holds us accountable for submitting to Him. All right, let's look at our first verses. Listen to God is the name of the section, and it's chapter 38 of Job, and it's verses 1 through 4. Then the Lord answered Job from the whirlwind. Who is this that questions my wisdom with such ignorant words? Brace yourself like a man, because I have some questions for you, and you must answer them. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you know so much. Wow, he was smart aleck, wasn't he? I mean, he did. Tell me, I mean, where were you when I was building this place that you're living in? That's right. So after Job's friends stated that his sin, they were just 100% positive sure that Job had done something to cause what happened to him. So after they had stated that his sin had led to his loss, Job disagreed, and he wanted answers. Up to this point, he had not asked God to say what's going on. Job wanted to hear it from God, though. He wanted to know from the horse's mouth. And so God responded, but not in the way that Job expected him to. So how many times has that happened to you? You've asked God and he's responded, but not in the way that you expected or probably most importantly wanted him to. So he expects us to be active listeners when he speaks. Active listeners. You can pretend you're listening to me all day long. But you could be writing a menu down. You could be doing all kinds of things. You know? So, God expects us to be active listeners when he speaks. Can you hear somebody clearly? If you are talking at the same time, and somebody else is talking, can you really? Have you ever noticed? I mean, because I have, sometimes my hearing is too good. And I'll be carrying on a conversation, and there'll be another conversation. And I'll get just enough that I want to, and then I lose track of what I'm doing over here. But I don't hear, and I don't finish this one, so I fail at both of them. So you can't. You hear bits and pieces enough to confuse you or make you real dangerous. And that's where gossip begins, right? That's the crux of gossip right there. So active listeners don't talk. I'm talking about active listeners for God right now. And in other cases too. Active listeners don't talk. This is the be still part of be still and know that I am God. And that's Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. That's the be still, being an active listener. In order to hear God's leading for your life, you have to listen. And I am so guilty of not. Because sometimes you don't want to hear. It's not what you expected, like Job. You don't want to hear. You have to be quiet in his presence to hear. In these verses that we just read, God reminds Job that he is a simple human being with all the restrictions that come with being human. Okay, I know you've heard this before. You know, we're born and we live, and then we die. It's that in between that where we are, who we are. That's where we make a difference, at the in between. God reminds Job and he challenges him to learn as much as possible about who God is and about God's sovereign will. So when do you find it most difficult to listen to God? When do you find it most difficult?
I think when we want to do things our own way.
Big time. Big time. When else?
Well, I think a lot of times when we have problems, we get so wrapped up in our problems until we don't listen to God. We're just consumed with our problems and we want it fixed, but we don't take time to listen to him.
Or even ask him.
Right. Oh, yeah. We're just consumed with our own problem.
Try to fix it, and then when everything fails, what do? Yeah.
Then you go.
When you're denying something.
You're
right. I'm right, but can everything is.
That's right. And you don't want to hear him agree with them. That's it. When do you find it the most easiest to listen to God?
When all else fails, I guess.
And when everything is going grand.
That's good
and everything's great. So let's look at submit to God in chapter 42, our last chapter, verses 1 through 6. So Job is replying to the Lord. I know that you can do anything and no one can stop you. You ask, who is this that questions my wisdom with such ignorance? It is I, and I was talking about things I knew nothing about, things far too wonderful for me. You said, listen, and I will speak. I have some questions for you, and you must answer them. I had only heard about you before, but now I have seen you with my own eyes. I take back everything I said, and I sit in dust and ashes to show my repentance." So Job had a wake-up call after God got a little smart with him and asked him where he was when he was doing all the great things. So, how much do we trust God? Are we completely submitted to Him? How much do we trust Him? Even though we don't understand or may not understand God's action or plan, because it's happening right now, His plan's moving right along, whether you're moving or not, it's moving. We can trust Him, and we are to acknowledge His majesty and sovereignty. Majesty, you know, He's our King, and it's easy to downplay that sometimes, I think, and try to make it more personable. But we have to remember that when we go and we be still and we listen, who we're listening to, who we're waiting to hear from. And He is the King of all. He's with everybody. He is all-powerful. And, you know, if that can overwhelm you a bit if you remind yourself of exactly who it is we're talking about and who we want to talk to, who wants to have a personal relationship with us. It's a mouthful. You can give it lip service, meaning, yes, I trust Him even though I don't understand. I acknowledge His majesty. I acknowledge His sovereignty. So, do you give it lip service, or is it just something you know because you've been knowing it since you were a little girl? Or is it something that overwhelms you and that you think is just utterly awesome all the time? So how excited are we about the Lord? Do you trust Him with everything down to the little bitty to the big? Do you understand that He has supreme power and authority? Sometimes I think it's hard for us to recognize and appreciate that if we are going through a difficult time, He knows about it. Just like He knows when we're going through the on top of the mountain high times and happy times. He knows when our times are difficult, and He knows that you're going through it. And you just have to remember that He has complete control of whatever the situation is. Job came to the realization of God's power in these verses, in first six verses, and he admits it, and he asks for repentance. And back then, they sat in dust and throwed ashes all over themselves to show their repentance. If it put Job in the place he needed to be with God, in the right place, he needed to. You know, we all know. See, Job never even knew. Job does not know that God is the one that's put him through all this. He still does not know. It doesn't matter that he does, you know. He doesn't need to know. Because I don't know if he'd be able to survive that. But God still wants him to know that he's still just a human being. Even though maybe Job got a little too uppity about the fact that he knew that he hadn't sinned. And, you know, even though he didn't do anything to deserve it, but he still kept God first. And he never would blaspheme Him. He never would turn his back on Him. So it put Job in a right place with God. The awesome power of God can overwhelm you. I want it to overwhelm you. I want it to overwhelm you every day. I want it to have an impact on our lives and make a difference. Trust His plan, and most important, find contentment with Him and the plan that He's got going for you, whatever it is, whatever it is. What does content mean? What does that mean to you?
Peace.
It does. It means to be satisfied and have an ease of mind. That's what we need to have always, no matter what we're going through. Ease and peace of mind. Let's look at our last verses. Well, a couple, almost. Intercede before God, verses 7 through 9. After the Lord had finished speaking to Job, he said to Eliphaz the Temanite, "I am angry with you and your two friends, for you have not spoken accurately about me, as my servant Job has. So take 7 bulls and 7 rams and go to my servant Job and offer a burnt offering for yourselves. My servant Job will pray for you, and I will accept his prayer on your behalf. I will not treat you as you deserve, for you have not spoken accurately about me, as my servant Job has." So Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite did as the Lord commanded them, and the Lord accepted Job's prayer. So after God spoke to Job, he turned to the friends. And when you study Job, you want this to happen. You want them to be told about what a great guy Job really is. God directed Job's friends to offer sacrifices for falsely accusing Job of sin. So Job's assignment, what was Job's assignment? To pray for the friends that had wronged him. Now how hard is that? We know that. That's hard. I don't have my watch on today. Am I late?
Well, I've got that 11 minutes till.
Oh, we're good. I don't talk longer since I don't have my watch on. God desires that each of us let Him handle the judgment and that we spend our efforts praying for those who harmed us. So let God judge whoever does you wrong and you just pray for them. How do you feel about praying for someone who has wronged you?
It's hard.
It's very hard.
I do it every day.
Do you pray for them or do you write them off? It's real easy to write them off. You can find something, some scripture or something that makes you feel justified, you know. So what does God want us to do? He wants us to pray for them. Let Him judge them and let Him rebuke them like He did the friends. Now, that'd be something, wouldn't it, if God come down and rebuke everybody would be totally different if He'd do that. But guess whose job that is? That's ours, to pray for them nowadays. Think of somebody right now that's wronged you. Everybody's got one. So commit today that you're going to start praying for them if you haven't already. Let's look at verses 10 through 12. That's our last verses. When Job prayed for his friends, the Lord restored his fortunes. In fact, the Lord gave him twice as much as before. Then all his brothers, sisters, and former friends came and feasted with him in his home. And they consoled him and comforted him because of all the trials the Lord had brought against him. And each of them brought him a gift of money and a gold ring. So the Lord blessed Job in the second half of his life, even more than in the beginning. For now he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 teams of oxen, and 1,000 female donkeys. And look, I'm going to just finish. He also gave Job 7 more sons and 3 more daughters. He named his first daughter Jemima, I guess that's right. The second, Keziah, and the third, Karen Hapuk. In all the land, no women were as lovely as the daughters of Job, and their father put them into his will along with their brothers, which I bet was probably not traditionally done.
That's what my note says. It says it's unusual in patriarchal society for daughters to receive him.
Job lived 140 years after that, living to see 4 generations of his children and grandchildren. Then he died, an old man who had lived a long, full life. So that's pretty good. So cancer, sudden unexpected death, accidents, illness, job loss. We can go on and on and on and on with the problems, the severe problems that we face, that we consider to be tragedies and that we face, or we know somebody that faces each and every day.
But I had written a note on the end of my Bible up here, and I don't know where it came from. Somebody, I guess some preacher said, suffering in the will of God is a ministry that God gives a chosen few.
because and you know why? Because they have to choose to use it as a ministry. Yep. So that's why it's chosen. It's not because he chose them. It's because they chose.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. So every day these things happen, these tragedies happen. Until it happens, you can't begin to imagine how you're going to react and how you're going to respond. You think you may, but not until it personally happens to you or somebody you care about, then you're not going to realize this. All of Job's material possessions were restored to him by God. He had demonstrated that all that was important to him truly was his relationship to God. So is your relationship with God the most important thing in your life? Answer that for yourself this week. And we'll start Ecclesiastes and finish out the quarter. Does anybody have any questions, complaints, comments?
I know yesterday was the 13th, that was a Saturday, that my brother took his own life. Stephen, back in 85, he'd been gone now 28 years.
Wow.
So I pray that the Lord